Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People radio show on the Truth Is Out There, Voice of People Media Network on Block Talk Radio. Caller number is 515-602-9657. You can check us out on our website at thetruthisthetruth.net. That's thetruthisthetruth.net. Before we go on and introduce my co-host and our very special guest, I'd like to welcome everyone around the world. This show in particular, who is trending throughout social media the last 48 hours, is being broadcast by many areas, including in Israel and around the world. We got a very big guest and a big proposal. And for disclosure reasons, during my work that I do during the week, I do some work for some of the people that's involved in Israel. I'm involved with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews and Eyal Eckstein. I'm also involved with the Jewish Voice Ministries and John Bezines. And just picked up OU, which is the Orthodox Union. So there is connections there. And IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, which I get briefings every morning. So all of that is involved, all of them listening, and this is a very big show. And I know that I'd like to also welcome mostly candidates that have had the chance to listen to us tonight and elsewhere, and it's an hour-long show. Let me introduce you to my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing, Scarlett?
I am good.
Okay, and now I'm going to introduce you to a person that I know personally for a couple of years now. We are opposites and sides in a lot of things, but he has a very unique proposal for peace in Israel. This gentleman here is Rabbi Barry Silva. Let me introduce him to our program. Welcome, Rabbi Silva.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Okay. you had sent me, I know you have a, first of all, I know you have a son at FAU, and he knows firsthand what's going on at the university. Before I get to your proposal, do you have any comment about what's going on with your son and FAU and what's going on in the universities?
Well, actually, my son, I have two sons. They both go to University of Florida. I went to FAU.
Oh, okay.
I graduated.
Oh, okay.
And I was involved because the Students for Justice in Palestine, so-called, were active there spreading their anti-Zionist hate and filth. And I was there to protest against them because that was my alma mater at FAU.
Oh, okay.
Kids are now at University of Florida, and I'm very thrilled that the president of the University of Florida came out with a very strong statement supporting the state of Israel and the Jewish people and saying that there's no place for terrorism or support of terrorism on his campus.
That's very good, because what's going on and around the country is really, really horrible. And I don't think these students know what they're saying or doing or the history of things. So that's a problem there.
Well, a lot of them are very ignorant, and they're also heavily influenced by anti-Semitic, which is synonymous these days with anti-Zionist propaganda. So I was in a discussion once with somebody, and not too long into the discussion, I said, well, you know, as Golda Meir said, and she said, who's Golda Meir? And I realized there are people who are abysmally ignorant who start pontificating about Israel and don't have any idea what they're talking about.
You know, it's true about that, and they don't. And I watch a lot of, TV, networks and stuff, and we have people on the street interviewing people that are in different universities who are protesting, like on the Brooklyn Bridge last night and others, and we ask them, why are you there? And they have no idea, really. You ask them about Gaza, talk about Gaza and stuff like that, and they don't realize that Israel gave the people in Gaza free reign since 2004, I believe it is, or five. And they're the ones, and Israel pulled everything out, including the settlements, everything. And it was their land to make it into whatever they wanted to be, hopefully beachfront property and do things which good there. Instead, they voted for Hamas and the mosque. But that's the facts.
In 2005, Israel gave Gaza back to the Palestinians after winning an offensive war. And then in 2006, They had elections. But the elections weren't exactly what we would call a free and fair election. They threw their opponents off of buildings and for terrorist groups. So they didn't have free elections, but they did have elections. And they decided they have Hamas, who's in control. But the sad thing is that there's no resistance to Hamas. Either the people lack courage or integrity, or maybe they sympathize with them, or a combination of all of them. But for all of these years, the people of Gaza have not challenged the control and the stranglehold of a terrorist group.
Yeah. We actually have a caller. I'm going to hold off the caller for a minute because I want to get some information now for you. The people, that support these people demonstrating the street, some of them are LGBTQ and transgender and all that stuff, and they don't realize that Hamas are not friends to them. In fact, this under Islamic, the radical Islamic extremists, if you want to call them that, they were the first ones to be killed off even before the Jews. And
if you tell them that,
they'll lie. They say that no, you're lying. And then if you show the videos of them being pushed off of buildings in various areas of the world because they're gay, they take us by surprise. And we all tell them, you got to learn who your enemy is before you support your enemy. And that's a big thing there.
Let's take a call, because I know some people are anxious to share their views.
Yeah, there's a 412 number. Call them on.
Okay.
Okay, 412, can you state your name and the question you have?
Yeah, Larry from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Larry from Pittsburgh. Nice to hear from you. What's going on in Pittsburgh?
Well, we're not too happy today with our Steelers, but that's beside the point. anyhow, you know, I know you're concerned for people. I know how you are very concerned with humanity. But I'm thinking in terms of the Second World War, when we bombed Dresden and Cologne, and we had an awful lot of collateral damage. Populations of maybe 100,000 or more people died. We bombed Hiroshima, and we bombed Nagasaki, and hundreds of thousands of people died. I mean, maybe it's time that we just can't be too kind to this situation, and maybe Israel has to go in and do what they have to do. Those are my thoughts. I'm also very concerned about the fact that this administration seems to be rewarding those who are in favor of all this massacring. They're giving hundreds of thousands of hundreds of millions of dollars to the Palestinians. You know it's going to wind up in Hamas's hands, and they've given money to Iran. I mean, I just don't understand this. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts.
Well, thank you very much. I happen to agree with your analogy completely. A lot of people forget that we did kill a lot of people in World War II, and it was very sad. It was very tragic, but it was necessary in order to defeat totalitarianism and Nazism. I wouldn't necessarily call that not being kind. I would say that it was something that had to be done. And the
it had to be done.
The kindest thing that we could do for Germany was to liberate them from the control of the Nazis. And along the way, obviously, many people died, and that was tragic. But I think that was the kindest thing we could do for them and for us. Same thing with dropping the atomic bomb, because we would have lost so many soldiers, and so many would have been wounded. And so I had a discussion with a rabbi that I was talking to, and he said, well, in times like this, we shouldn't show any compassion. And I don't agree with the terminology. I may agree with what action he was suggesting, but I don't agree with the terminology. I don't think in Judaism, as Jews, there should ever be a time when we don't have compassion.
I agree.
I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. In the Torah, or the Midrash, it says that when the Egyptian army was drowning in the Red Sea, the angels were rejoicing. And God rebuked them. Why are you rejoicing when my children are drowning? So God understood that people had to die, but he didn't rejoice in it, and he didn't think that it was a lack of compassion. He still had compassion even for the people who were wicked.
Yeah, I agree. Okay,
thanks.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and I appreciate your comments.
Thank you. Great question, by the way. Thank you. Good night.
See, you know, that's good. And it brings it to something else. Your proposal, that's why I'm against your proposal, in a way, because right now, until you get rid of the snake, the head of the snake, and I'm not talking about Hamas itself, because that's just part one of many. To get rid of, if you want peace in that area, not only do you need to get rid of Hamas, you need to get rid of Hezbollah. But you also got to get rid of the Muslim Brotherhood, and you got to get the head of the snake out, which is Iran, and that's a big thing there, and then you also got to get rid of the snake in this country, that's funneling Iran. That is Obama. That is Joe Biden. That is the Squad, and the nine Democrats that voted against the in support of Israel. They voted against Israel in the resolution that Mike Johnson did this for Israel this past week. So
did you say that you're opposed to my solution, my peace proposal?
We could go over that, but I don't think there's going to be any type of situation like you wanted to do until we get rid of the poison. because until you cure the disease, you're not going to put just a Band-Aid over it because it doesn't work. Like
the
guest said, the disease right now, the disease is the hatred towards Jews and towards Catholics and towards other people by the people from Iran and the mullahs and pretty much the hate of this country because we're the big Satan and Israel's the little Satan. They want to destroy both of us, and that's the thing.
And how do you propose getting rid of that hatred? What's your proposal rid of that?
My proposal would be is to wipe Hamas off the face of the earth. Number one.
Why? That's not going to.
Why
are
you doing that? Wipe Hamas. Right? Are you doing that? Also go because they already start firing rockets into Israel. Also do the same with Hezbollah. And we do know that in Lebanon, a lot of people are not supporters of Hezbollah. So it wouldn't take too long to turn if we go in that way. And then, of course, I don't know if you know it or not, but in Iran, the mullahs are not very, they're not their favorite people, Iranians. The fact that we have video of the last couple nights that the people yelling out the windows, the death of the mullahs. So you know, and we had a shot back during the Obama administration. He turned it back.
Maybe you didn't read my proposal because my proposal calls for the end of Hamas. So I'm not sure why you would say that.
Okay, that's fine, but you can't. First thing you said was for the Palestinian in the West Bank. Look, it's the proposal. Here's the first thing. The Palestinians in the West Bank, who have been relatively peaceful, Israel will announce its support for immediate creation of free and independent state of Palestine in the West Bank and will stop all further settlements in the West Bank. I don't know. Yeah, we tried that before, and there have been some riots and stuff over there. But, yeah, you've been right about it. It's been relatively peaceful right now, but that's because we have the IDF and the military all over that area. Israel will agree to immediate ceasefire and withdraw from forces from Gaza. That's not going to happen. Not until every one of Hamas...
Before you misrepresent my proposal, and shoot it down, maybe you should allow me to present it.
That's what I'm asking you to do.
Because you're saying things about it that aren't true.
Go ahead.
So let me present what my proposal is.
Because I was just reading right off of it.
Yeah, I know, but you're reading parts of it, and you're saying other things that aren't true. You said you have to get rid of Hamas. My proposal calls for that to happen. So let me share with everybody the proposal, and then people can, if they want, they can weigh in on it. So the proposal goes like this. Number one, for the Palestinians in the West Bank, who have been relatively peaceful, Israel will announce its support for the immediate creation of a free and independent state of Palestine in the West Bank will stop all further settlements in the West Bank. Two, for the Palestinians in Gaza, Israel will agree to an immediate ceasefire and a withdrawal of its forces from Gaza once Hamas returns the hostages, destroys its weapons, and agrees to live in peace with Israel. Israel will agree to the establishment of Gaza as part of a free and independent Palestinian state once the above is accomplished and Hamas is no longer in power or it changes its charter to remove all anti-Semitic references, all calls for violence against Israel and the Jewish people, and agrees to recognize the right of Jews to live in a free and independent state of Israel. Three, Jerusalem will be recognized as the eternal physical capital of the nation of Israel and the spiritual capital of the Jewish people by the General Assembly of the United States. The Palestinians will agree to this status as well. The boundaries of this capital shall include the Western Wall and the boundaries which currently comprise the Jewish section of Jerusalem. The current Arab section of Jerusalem shall be part of the Palestinian state, and if they so choose, this section of Jerusalem shall become the capital of Arab Palestine. Israel shall continue to have physical control over the Western Wall, the Temple Mount, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Muslim authorities shall continue to have religious control and spiritual autonomy over the Al-Aqsa Mosque as they do today. If Hamas is unwilling to do all of the above, then Israel will invite America and the free world to join its efforts to free the hostages and to liberate the Palestinian people from control by the terrorist regime of Hamas. At first, this will be attempted by complete and total isolation of Hamas from all military, financial, and moral support from any outside power. If America and or the free world is unwilling to participate in this international force effort to liberate the Palestinian people from Hamas and Gaza, then Israel will do so itself and use whatever means it deems necessary to protect its people and the world from terrorism and threats of violence. So this proposal is calling for an end of Hamas militarily if all these other things don't happen.
Which is, okay, now, I don't know if you know or not, but they tried a proposal with, they said, we release, Israel said, we release all of the POWs that we have, Hamas soldiers, and I mean, give it to in exchange for you releasing all the 200-plus hostages, including several Americans. They turned it down.
Right.
Hamas turned it down. Okay.
I know.
That's when they went into the ground war, which is what they call the second phase. Now, I don't know how many people are listening to us that know it, but Hamas has 300 miles of underground tunnels where entrances are built underneath hospitals and schools and public areas where people, they shield themselves with the people above ground and use them as shields. And so they're going to have, so you, well, when the caller called about massive casualties and stuff, of course, with Germany and Japan, the same thing's going to happen here. There is no choice. We're using bunker buster bombs to go into the control. He'll go down there and get rid of the tunnels and stuff. They got professional tunnel rats, which if you go back to Vietnam days, you know what they are. Those are people that know how to go into tunnels and go and take care of the things and find what they need to find. They're also going to use, there were reports of using from IDF and other sleeping gas and other stuff to knock these people out to try and save lives and then get them that way. So there are different ways of doing it, but it's going to take not a week or a month or 2 months, but it could take a year or two or three to do this because of the maze of tunnels.
Well, there is a choice. The choice is some type of proposal like I'm making or some other type of proposal that might be made.
Hamas will be laughing at this because – it's just like these college idiots and others are chanting from the lake to the sea, they want to wipe Israel off the face of the map. That's their goal.
I don't expect Hamas to agree with it. I'm surprised nobody would expect Hamas to agree with it. My proposal doesn't depend upon Hamas agreeing to it. That would be foolish.
Who would agree to it?
Well, if you heard the proposal, it is that Hamas agrees, and if they don't agree, then an international force will be created in order to take out Hamas. So it's not dependent on Hamas agreeing to it. I don't think it's fair for the world community to expect Israel alone to get rid of Hamas. I think that this is a worldwide global problem. They're a terrorist group that threatens everyone. And the United States should work with Israel in order to take out Hamas. And also, if the world community or a substantial part of the international community were to isolate Hamas, then they would not be able to exist as they do, and they would not have the power they do. The reason why Hamas is strong is because they're supported by the UN, and by, obviously, by Iran and by other powers. My proposal calls
China.
For the powers of the world to isolate Hamas and to work together in order to eradicate them.
That's not going to happen because
Israel,
of the UN.
I don't think Israel should be expected to do it by itself. And I
they're
and I love the way you say
country.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's what they said to Herzl when Herzl said we should create a Jewish state in the Middle East, a Jewish homeland. You know what they said? They sounded just like you. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That won't happen. But Herzl said, "Im tirtzu en zo agada." If you will it, it's no dream. Ben-Gurion said, to be a realist in Israel, you have to first believe in miracles. So saying it's not going to happen always proves wrong. So if you're saying it's not going to happen, I don't think you know the history of Israel or the history of the Jewish people, for that matter. Because the Jewish people are always taking what the world says is not going to happen and makes it
and
happen.
They make it
in
happen.
In fact,
yeah,
it
I know
was
that.
George Bernard Shaw who said that the reasonable person expects the world to conform and to continue the way it is. The unreasonable person expects the world to conform to their sense of justice. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable person. Israel doesn't expect the world to continue as it is. Israel works so that the world will continue as it should be. And that's why we don't, as Jews, we don't usually pay attention to people who just say, well, it can't happen. We have dreams and ideals, and we work hard. Like Brandeis said, you built your castles in the sky. That's where they belong. Now lay the foundations. So my proposal has the benefit of not having Israel isolated to take out Hamas. It says that an international force, including America, should work mm-hmm. with Israel to accomplish this.
Okay. In your eyes, what countries will be to get to form this coalition to help support Israel?
Well, there's already been countries that have announced their support for Israel. It was the United States, and then it was also some of the Western powers. England, France, Germany have announced that they stand with Israel. And so the
okay.
Western powers would hopefully be willing to send in some troops in order to make this happen and would participate in the isolation of Hamas.
Now, do you see we have a conflict right now in this country, and that's a problem because what we saw in Hamas still going into Israel and doing what they did without open borders in the south. What was a lot of people are worried that that Hamas, Hezbollah, and others sympathizers or could be coming in this country and doing the same thing here. And some of them say they're already here. And
yeah,
that's what
well,
they're
obviously we
here.
Need to. We always need to be on guard against terrorism. We faced terrorism on 9/11, and
right.
we should never ever be complacent. The threat of terrorism is alive and well all over the world.
So because of that,
in the
a lot of people are saying that before we give military blood or monies to countries like Israel or to Ukraine, we should make sure that our home borders are secure first and do what we need to do here so we can protect the homeland and then go and use that as part one. And part two is to help Israel and others that way.
Yeah, that's a very naive point of view. So Israel should just sit around being subjected to terrorism until we figure out how to fix our border, which hasn't happened in the last 50 years. That's a prescription for disaster. We should not hesitate
especially
when you have a dysfunctional House of Representatives that can't even figure out who's going to represent them, and they find someone who's an election denier to represent them and who can't get the support of his own party. If you wait around for the Congress to get its act together to do something about immigration before you help Israel, what you're saying is we should never help Israel. I think that's an abhorrent.
That's not what I was saying. That's what I'm
position.
Saying. In fact, the first thing that Speaker Johnson did was to get the vote to support Israel. The second thing is he has separated the funding bills, and he separated and did not did not put any bills for Ukraine, but said that we should be funding Israel in, at the moment there first, because the ally. And that's what
I find
that
disgusting. I find that a disgusting, horrible thing to say. That when Ukraine, the people of Ukraine, are suffering, are being tortured, being killed, and being threatened with being overrun by Russia, that we should not help them? What an immoral, horrible
thing.
No,
that wasn't what the reason why they did that. There is,
I don't care what the reason
is.
I don't care. It's immoral. It doesn't matter what the reason is. If he's saying that we should
help Ukraine, they want to make sure that the money's actually going to Ukraine, not into kickbacks, going back into Biden's pocket, among other things. And which they have evidence
going to Ukraine.
Showing them.
The money is going. It's not just money. Mostly, we're sending in arms.
The military hardware is going there. In fact, we depleted our military supplies doing that, and we actually are sending it, and we're doing that. But it's not just Ukraine, and it's not just. Israel, Hamas, and all that stuff. It's the fact that we have a big enemy called China who's funneling all of this stuff. And you got two wars. You're about to have a third one with when China tries to attack Taiwan. That'll be three. History is repeating itself, except it's not Japan, Italy, and Germany this time. It's going to be Iran, Russia, and China.
Well, I certainly hope that the United States doesn't adopt what you're suggesting and not help Ukraine or Israel until we figure out
right.
how to solve the immigration
problem. They're separating the bills and not making it into one giant thing to try and get the budgets done. And they're separating the bills and doing it through that way. So everybody knows where everybody's voting for and why. And they're doing it that way because the American people want to get accountability with almost $34 trillion in debt. So that's why they're doing it that way.
Accountability. Ukraine has done an incredible job in defending itself from Russia. If you want accountability, they are extremely successful. To suggest that we should stop the support of a group of people who are fighting to protect democracy and the free world against Russian aggression, that we should stop that or hesitate or halt. I find it to be disgusting.
I gotta remember history. Ukraine happens to be a country that has been fighting, even during World War II, they were never a defeated country. They always, their resistance and everything gave Hitler and the Nazis a very rough ride, and all the way through. So they've always been on top of the game, and they've never really been totally controlled.
Ukraine resisted the Nazis?
Yeah, Ukraine had a lot of resistance.
A large part of Ukraine collaborated with the Nazis.
A lot of them was also the resistance, and there's a combination too. You've heard of Babi Yar, right? Yes.
Okay, you know about the slaughter of Jews at Babi Yar, like 33,000 Jews in 2 days. That was done in Ukraine. So I wouldn't necessarily hold Ukraine up as a model of resistance against
the Nazis. No, I didn't say it as a model. I just said that they're very big fighters when they can be.
They were collaborators. They were collaborators.
Okay, if they were collaborators, now this is coming to what I'm trying to say. If they're collaborators and the Nazis in there, and
part of the Ukrainian people, especially they were collaborators with the anti-Semitic. They're not a model of resistance, but it doesn't matter. Whatever happened in World War II is not really relevant to today. Today, Ukraine needs our help because they're defending the free world against Russia, and I don't think we should stop our support because they're doing an incredible job fighting off like one of the most powerful
armies
also
a lot
in the world.
We do know there's a lot of corruption in the Ukraine going back to the day.
I don't,
there's a lot
I don't,
of corruption
I don't,
in the Ukraine. And there's also
Tell me about it. What corruption is going on in Ukraine?
I think Burisma comes to mind with that. That's in Ukraine. The fact there was a prosecuting attorney that was about to take down Burisma
What are they doing today? What corruption are they doing today?
Well, we're finding out.
Tell me, I'd love to know. Stay tuned
because the hearings in the next 2-4 weeks with the impeachment inquiry, you'll see the money trail. I'm asking today.
What are they doing today? They don't have any influence today. They're not getting access to any of the money that's going to Ukraine today. There's no money going to them.
You don't know that. That's part of the investigation. But the point is, I'm not against Ukraine.
I do know facts, and you're just making things up out of thin air. There's no facts that support that money is going to them today, and they're not. The money and the arms are going to fight Russia. That's what's happening today.
Well, the arms are going to fight Russia.
And they're doing an incredible job.
Yes, they are doing an incredible job by Russia. Yes, and to the point where Russia has to borrow monies and borrow munitions and stuff from China to try and get an ultimate defeat. And that's a big thing because China is trying to control everything, and that's one thing. Same thing, who's supplying Iran? Go back to the Middle East. Supplying Iran is China. And China's money and stuff going to Iran, plus, of course, the $6 billion that Biden did, the eliminating some of the sanctions that Trump did on Iran that almost bankrupted them in restrictions, and released that up. So now they're one of the top producing oil companies and making tons of money into oil sales. And so you got that going, plus the pallets of money that Obama gave them to try and get a nuclear deal, which fell apart.
He didn't give them money. He released funds that were assets that were frozen because
he released the money. Now they're trying to refreeze it after everybody came up in arms after what happened. Because we believe that the monies that between these sanctions that have been lifted, plus the monies coming in and the billions of dollars that Iran made because of releasing the sanctions and everything, helped funnel Hamas and Hezbollah, especially Hamas, and the attack on October 7th. That's the thing there. And it's been, and they're also sponsoring all these demonstrations in our universities. And probably paying off, which is being investigated now.
Don't forget about the weapons that were left behind in Afghanistan.
In Afghanistan, yeah. A lot of the Hamas weapons came from Afghanistan. And that's been confirmed by...
You know who's spending, supporting Iran, Saudi Arabia, and other regimes that we don't care for financially, like Venezuela, is the United States. Every time we buy gas for our cars,
yeah.
We're
I know.
Our money over to Iraq.
I agree with that. I understand that. What do you think we should do about it? Start drilling.
That's a ridiculous solution. If you start drilling, they're still going to be getting money. We could never drill our way to support all the needs
that we have for fossil fuels. Rabbi, that's wrong. We were energy independent back in 2020, 2019. We became energy independent. We were selling oil to Europe.
We were energy independent in 2020?
Yes, we were energy independent.
And what happened? We were selling oil.
Biden came in. And the first thing he did was stop the drilling, cut the Anwar, cut the pipelines,
Hold on. If he stopped the drilling, that just means that new reserves wouldn't be made available. Hithaway wouldn't have do anything to stop the old reserves that were available. He didn't do anything
he
to stop
the pipeline.
Old reserves.
He cut the drilling. Pipeline.
Just let me finish. Just let me finish for a second so I can try to make some sense. If we were energy independent in 2020, and let's say Biden comes in and stops all drilling. Drilling doesn't give you energy for like 5 years in the future. It wouldn't do anything to stop the oil that we have right now. It wouldn't do anything to prevent all the oil that we had from being used. He didn't do anything to stop the current oil from being used in the United States. If you stop drilling, that just means in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you won't have new sources. If we were independent then, we would be independent now. But what you're saying is patently absurd. We were not independent in 2020.
Okay. He did more than stop the drilling. He kicked the leases. He stopped AMWA. He closed the pipelines that we were going through.
He stopped the construction of new pipelines. He stopped the construction of new pipelines. Not the old ones. He didn't take old pipelines and shut them down. He stopped the construction of new pipelines because he knew that the amount of gas and oil that we could get is rather marginal compared to all the oil that the world needs from Saudi Arabia and from Iran. Even if it could happen, we have more oil and natural gas
under our feet in this country than any other country in the world. We were selling to Germany. We had a deal set in place with Germany, so this way they could buy from us at a cheaper rate, and they would have stopped Russia, and they even had he kicked the pipeline that was going to Russia from Russia to Germany. And they stopped the deal there, and then Biden came around and reversed it until they blew it up.
That's not stopping oil today. That's preventing the future. That's preventing oil from being available in the future. It has nothing to do with stopping what's available today. Biden didn't do anything to prevent the oil that we have today from being used.
He also destroyed the coal industry.
We weren't buying from OPEC
under Trump. We were buying it under Biden. We had enough oil and the reserves. He bought the reserves. He filled it up at $18 a barrel. And he filled it up. And Biden used it, all the reserves to try and keep gas prices temporarily down because of inflation, which didn't really work. That's the point. But the thing is, get back to, because we're running out of time. We want to get back to Israel and stuff. The proposal that you sent to me, I brought it to the people I told you about and they're listening. And we'll see where it goes. But again, until we get rid of, it's not just Hamas. It's the head of the snake, which is Iran. Iran is controlling that.
So what do you think we should do about Iran? What do we do?
Well, the first thing we should do is to get back to the sanctions that was put in place by and restrictions put up by Trump. Get back in function again. Freeze all the assets that we're able to do in this country. Grab that $6 billion out of Qatar if they haven't already used it, and go and basically bankrupt them. If Trump had won re-election, none of this would have happened. We would have had Iran and its nails, and they would have pleaded for the deal, and they probably would have got rid of the mullahs because we were that close and other stuff.
Yeah, well, I do agree with you there. I thought we should have definitely supported the protesters and tried to take out Iran at that time. I do agree with that.
Yes. We have the ability to do it, and that's the second time. The first time was back when that woman and the group that was in the streets of Tehran that Obama turned his back on, and they ended up killing them all. That was the first time, and then now the second time. But this is the third time, and third time could be a charm because the people in Tehran and elsewhere are now yelling out the windows to eliminate the mullahs. So this is another step in there. So you got to apply pressure. Like I said, we apply the pressure, make it a 180 for what Bynum's doing, and make it 180, and make this work. He also, the other thing is, we also got condemned the actions of the people in this country that support terrorism, like Hamas and Hezbollah. And where is Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all the others that are not condemning the squad, especially Tayyip? Where are they?
Yeah, well, the squad has been condemned by the Democratic Party. They don't really have a whole lot to say anymore. They don't have much sway over the party. But I know that you like to keep mentioning the squad. How do you feel about Saudi Arabia? What do you think about the influence of Saudi Arabia and sponsoring the madrasas and paying financing the madrasas that train terrorists?
I think we're closing in on some of the Saudis that was responsible with 9/11 and stuff, and I think they should be prosecuted and executed if they get in there. But also they were very close. Saudi Arabia and Israel were very close to making a deal, and Iran did not like that. And that's another reason why, that's another reason why Hamas went in, because they were closing on that because they hated the Abraham Accord. And if we could get, and we could expand it to Saudi Arabia and others and actually have peace, and this way your proposal would have worked in the Middle East. If you run it off of the Abraham Accord.
But how do you feel about Saudi Arabia? They finance Madrasa.
I don't trust them.
I don't trust
them.
And, well, it's not a matter of trust. We know for a fact they pay for madrasas. They take the money that they get from the United States and they use it to finance madrasas. We should be condemning that. The madrasas train.
I think we should stop funding monies to Saudi Arabia. That's one of the reasons why we need to be energy independent. That's another thing there. But I agree, we should stop funding that and condone them. Condemn them, and go from there. We also got to watch out for in Africa, Yemen, and all that stuff.
So what did you think about Trump when he said, "Oh, I love Saudi Arabia because they made me millions of dollars"? What did you think about that? As a businessman,
he's good. On that statement, he's bad. But, again, I know why he was doing that, because he was looking at a bigger peace deal in the Middle East to try and get peace around the world. And he was trying to – he knows that Saudi Arabia and Iran are opposite of each other. And if you get Israel and Saudi Arabia to commit to a peace treaty, that's a win-win. And that's what he's thinking.
That's true. But that's not why he did it. He did it because they were making him money.
That's his business thing.
I know that's why he would allow his business to influence the foreign policy of the United States, to allow a president's business interest to determine the foreign policy of the United States is so corrupt. It's treason.
Well, that means you got to be, if you're against that, you also got to be against Biden because of his policy stuff and his direct money's the connection to China and Ukraine and elsewhere around. There's about 10 different countries that he's made billions,
Biden.
Millions and millions of dollars. So Biden and the Biden crime
Biden received money from China?
Yeah, about $30 million. We have the checks. That's
really?
Part of the. That's part of the impeachment process that's going on. You'll see. We already got a check. They show kickbacks back and forth, and the bank statements. One thing that Mike Johnson said, you cannot, and Comer said it, you cannot hide from bank statements and payments.
President Biden,
when he was VP, he made money off of China, And that's one of the reasons why.
China wrote checks to Biden.
Yes, the CCP wrote checks to Biden and the Biden Crime Syndicate. We have so much evidence out there on that. It's not just China. It's not just Ukraine. It's Romania and other areas. And it happens for many years. This is a guy that claims he's poor and ended up buying a multi-million-dollar home when he was just first couple of years of sitting in Canada. If you follow the money trail, it's not just RSBN, you can watch it. Watch it on Newsmax, they give it pretty good. And a bunch of others out there, Rob Schmidt has a pretty good, Craig Kelly's got a pretty good, the evidence is there. If you watch C-SPAN and watch the House committees with Comer's committee and Jim Jordan's committee and others, you will see where the money goes and the money trail and stuff. The evidence is there. They have enough to impeach the guy. To make sure that the impeachment inquiry gets all the evidence first before they actually make the actual impeachment, which they'll win. And then they'll go to the Senate. And between Grassley and the others, this line to pick up votes there, too. So it's a big thing going on with that. And you'll see over a period of time. If you're watching MSDNC or CNN, you're never going to get it. But if you start watching other news stations like the Newsmax, you notice I didn't mention Fox. Because it's a joke these days. And so anyway,
I watch all the news stations, but I've never seen any evidence that President Biden received.
I urge you to watch.
And if that was the case, why didn't Trump do something when he was president for 4 years? Why didn't he go after him? Yeah, he was president for 4 years. If he was getting money from
because
China,
because he had lousy people. Bill Barr knew what the truth is, but he walked away because he's part of deep state. There's a thing called deep state.
Well, why do you have lousy people if he's such a great executive and he's so smart? Why did he pick so many?
Because he's not a politician and he's learned on the job, and that's the thing. But he's a little smarter now and he's doing a lot better. But anyway, if we go beforehand, I don't know if Biden is going to be the nominee next year. There's a couple people out there. There's a guy that's from Minnesota that is running against him. He's the only one that's on the ballot in New Hampshire because Biden didn't want to go up there because he wanted to have South Carolina as the first primary because if this came into the black vote, which he's not going to have. And then you got the guy for Gavin Newsom running.
Yeah.
Well,
but anyway,
it's been fascinating chatting with you.
Yeah, I like you coming on again because we only touched base on the thing. I told you in the beginning that I work with a bunch of people on proposal to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews and the John Burness and those people and the IDF as well as OU and see what happens to see if we get the information out to you. And I have a friend named Rabbi Pauly who works with the Knesset and Bibi, and we'll send it to him and see where that goes. So to see if it gets some traction.
Okay, sounds good. Nice chatting with you.
Okay, thank you for coming on, Rabbi, and have a great evening.
Thanks, you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. Okay, we're running out of time. Scholar, you have any comments? Gentleman 412, is she still on? You have any comment?
No.
Okay. Gentleman 412, Pennsylvania? Okay. Anyway, excuse me?
No. All right.
Anyway, I like everybody.
Yeah, I've got some comments. I didn't realize I was still on the air.
Yeah, see you. I knew you were still on the air because I watched your number. And you didn't come off. So I just want to know if you heard the show and if you have any comments, that's all.
Well, I heard the whole thing. Yes, thank you very much. I wish Rabbi Silver would watch some conservative talk shows once in a while. He'd learn something about Biden. And I didn't get any discussion about the monies that were being sent to Hamas as a reward.
Yeah, I know. I didn't get a chance. He cut me off a bunch of times, but I don't think he just doesn't want anything that has to do with, because he's a left-winger by nature, anything that has to do with Biden or anything, because he's this guy, I try to stay off of Trump. He hates Trump. So, but
I know. It's all it is Trump. But I wish right. There was some discussion about what about the rewards we're giving to Iran and to Hamas. I just don't understand it. You know, it's unbelievable.
I agree with that. You know, my thing is that in order to win this thing, Israel has to eliminate Hamas off the face of the planet.
Of course.
Same thing with Hezbollah, and you've got to take out Iran. And while you're doing that, in this country, we have to get rid of Biden, Obama, and all those people, and the squad.
Absolutely.
And
what is your first name?
I mentioned it a couple of times. Joe.
Joe. Well, okay, Joe. Much appreciated. And I didn't realize I was still on the air. I just thought,
I
love the discussion. It was on all kind of situations.
Yeah, we only have an hour.
Please understand for yourself, Ukraine was a sympathizer of the Nazis. They were not very, very, very helpful to the Jews. They were basically a sympathizer.
I agree with that, but I was trying to get him to say it, and I went the other way so he could say it. Sometimes you got to say something so he can counteract you, so you can get the truth out, and that's why I did.
I got you. Okay, I didn't realize I was the only caller, for God's sakes, but that's good to hear.
No, you have people in the chat room. Anyway, I want to thank you again and have a great evening because we're about to end the show.
Thank you kindly. Enjoy it.
Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're on again tomorrow on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. on the Truth Is Out There, Voice of People radio show on Block Talk Radio. Please join us on Wednesday evening, 8 p.m. I want to thank Rabbi Barry Silva, the gentleman from Pennsylvania, and Scarlett, my co-host, and everyone else that's listening, and we'll see you again on Wednesday evening.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, today, 'cause there ain't no doubt.